I'm sure that all of you know that we're going to have a concert this afternoon at 3:30 at the Church of Religious Science in Ballard. And you're all invited to come, to bring as many of your friends as you would like to share in this happy event with us. Our Bible reading this morning is from St. Matthew, chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Pardon me. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And I'd like to read to you from Isaiah, chapter 9, beginning with verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now we are in the midst of the Advent season. It is the Advent of the birth of Christ. This ceremony, this particular worship ceremony, was not instituted until around 460 by Bishop Perpetuus of Tours. And at that time, they began the Advent season around November 11th. And they were supposed to fast and do penance 3 days every week until they celebrated the birth of the Christ. They didn't really have anything to go by in that connection, so they used all that they used during the Lenten season as the penitent worship. But in the years sometime around 600, then Pope Gregory started something else, because in the beginning it had been, this custom had been initiated in France and then spread to Spain and then Germany. And then in 600, Pope Gregory started the Advent season, but he had it only for 4 weeks. So there was a great clash of opinions about it at that time. And eventually, the church compromised, and Pope Gregory's regime took on part of the penitent season, and in turn, those who had been of the Gallic faith took on a part of that which Pope Gregory was putting forth. It is interesting to note that all of these things which we celebrate are man-made. They are rules, regulations, canons, by which we govern and control our lives today, thinking that they were directly inspired by God himself, and that they have existed since the beginning of time. As you start to study various things, you find many strange facts laid before you, and you find that the only truth that can be believed truly is in the four Gospels, and that these Gospels put forth as a history of the man Jesus who became the Christ is evidence of what every man must go through from the human to the divine. We are 1 week away from Christmas Day, and this is a very happy, a very joyous, a very busy, a very hectic season in many cases. And it is hectic and it is busy because we are busy with buying gifts, with cleaning our houses, with trimming our trees, with sending out cards, and we are on the go constantly. I know what that's like, I do it. But this season should really be devoted in prayer and meditation. It should be devoted to giving a gift to the Lord. In this last, these last verses that I read to you, there is one that stands out above all others. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now that was way back in the Old Testament. They were looking forward to the coming of this Christ. And in everything that I have read you today, this is what happens within every man when he has set his feet upon the spiritual path, when he has progressed to the point where his love for God, his worship of God is so great that he wants to surrender himself and everything he has at the feet of the Lord. And at that moment, these tremendous things start to happen. And then earthquakes happen inside of yourself. You have many strange experiences. It speaks of the fire burning. It speaks of the 10 virgins, 5 with oil in their lamps and 5 without. Now these are speaking of the 10 or of the 5 spinal centers with the positive and the negative forces in each one. These are the good and the bad thieves within on our own crosses. And the good thief wants to go with the Savior's paradise, whereas the bad thief does not. And so it is with the 5 virgins, those who have their lamps filled with the oil of devotion, with the oil of worship, with the oil of love for the Christ within themselves, because the Christ is the bridegroom in every man. And he awaits the time when the soul is willing to give up all of its attachments to the things of the senses and surrender itself totally to God. And then there is the lifting up. There is experiences to be gone through. Pope Gregory started this particular worship because St. Martin had gone on a 40-day fast. And again, we have this 40 days. Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness. And this is the travail of the soul as that one picks up his cross to follow the Christ in order that he may become his disciple. And the experiences that the soul goes through have been written about in many, many books the world over. The Catholic Church, the Catholic religion, is filled with things of this nature. And there are many, many saints who have been canonized because they have had these tremendous experiences. They have been lifted up. We take St. Teresa of Avila, for instance. She called the Lord His Majesty at all times. And she was lifted up and had tremendous experiences. This woman was so much of God that at the time of her passing, her whole body exuded the most fragrant perfume. It was wonderful. And the church fought over her and did a terrible thing because they were fighting over her. They dismembered her body so that part of her was in one place, part of her in another, and part of her in another. And these various parts were buried, and still, when the parts were exhumed, still of fragrance, that perfume was with her. This is the perfume of God. This is the birthright of every single individual to find their oneness with God, to find the Savior within themselves, to have this birth take place. So this is a time, this Advent season, a preparation for the coming of the birth of the Christ within every man. Jesus the Christ came to set us the example 2,000 years ago. But you will find that in all that he wrote, he was referring to what happened within man. Whereas in the Pauline letters, you will find that Paul developed a totally new religion with the emphasis on sin, with the emphasis on the little self. And certainly, he was the one, and you can look it up for yourselves, who said that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. Jesus himself did not say so. Look it up and you'll find that I speak the truth. The Christ consciousness is in each and every one of us. The ability to attain Christhood is within each of us. Bethlehem is within each of us. The manger is within each of us. And the star of the east, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, let thine eye be single, and thy whole body shall be filled with light. And when you close your two eyes, these two thieves which see all the things which attract the senses, and focus your full attention on the spiritual eye in the center of your forehead, you will find that gradually that single eye will appear, and you will see in it this beautiful star, which is the gate to heaven within yourself. And if you persist, you will hear that knocking sound, and that door will open, and the Lord will come in and sup with you and you with him, and you will be filled with the bliss of his infinite presence. It is indeed a holy night, this night when the Christ star is born in the east, and the wise men, which represent the three qualities of man, the bitter, or the tamasic, as the Indians call it, and then the rajasic, or that which is fool's gold, the attention on the worldly things, and then frankincense, which is the fragrance of worship in every man. These are the three who come to lay their gifts at the feet of the Christ who is born in the manger of your own being in the city of Bethlehem, which is within yourself. Jerusalem is the holy city. This represents the spiritual consciousness of man. And the more your heart opens to God, to the Christ, the more your consciousness expands until he fills your being. Until you know that he is the beloved, that he is truly the bridegroom of your soul, even as Radha represents the soul in the Hindu scriptures and Krishna is the bridegroom. It is the eternal reaching out of the soul for his oneness with God. It is the eternal reaching down by the Christ consciousness, the Son of God, to lift the soul up and make him realize his birthright in all of its fullness and glory. And still we go on with all of these outer things. Now these are wonderful because at least they keep the mind cognizant of the fact that there is a Christ that must be worshipped, that we should serve Christ in all men everywhere. Everyone we meet has God within himself. Because Christ himself said, ye are the temple of God. And in another place, ye are God. So we know that each of us is a spark of the infinite Spirit of God. That we are the Word within ourselves. We have that Word within ourselves. And that Word is clothed with the body of flesh, a garment of flesh. And it is our flesh, the flesh given us by God. This is the temple not made by hand. And when we fail to live life as we should, when we keep our minds consciously concerned with the things of the outer world, with the getting of possessions, we do ourselves the most tremendous disservice in the world Now we have to work to eat. And we have to work because it is our responsibility to earn our birthright here on this earth, because it is very difficult to attain a human birth. It is said that even the angels must come down to this mud ball of earth to get their final realization, their final liberation in God. There's a whole hierarchy, but the Christ consciousness permeates and pervades every atom of space. He is truly the carpenter of the universe. There is no place where he is not. And to emphasize so constantly sin instead of love, which was his main theme. His love for us was so great, this Jesus, the Savior, the Son of Man, that he died on the cross to save us from the sin of separation from God. Such was his love. He preached love. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another and your neighbor as yourself. He, all through his teachings, was this tremendous love theme, not sin. He mentioned sin once or twice, but love was the byword. Love one another as I have loved you, and your neighbor as yourself. And that neighbor includes every single individual in this world, regardless of race, color, or creed, because we are all children of the one Father God. So we should go within ourselves during this holy season. We should lift up our consciousness. We should put that consciousness upon God. We should go into the holy city and prepare for this sacred birth that is to take place in each and every one of us as we purify our bodies, our minds, and our souls and make ourselves ready to receive it. Balance in all things, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Every 29 and a half days, there is a master or a Christ seed that descends from the sacred colostrum or cloister underneath the brain. And it goes in back of the eyes, the nasal passage, the throat, crosses over at the forehead, and it is deposited in half of it into the pituitary gland, which is the female or the Mary gland, and becomes milk-like in substance. The other half is deposited in the male or the Joseph gland and becomes honey-like in substance. And this is the land of milk and honey to which the Israelites or the people of God must return. Then this is carried by the Mary gland down and deposited in a conical-like cave behind the stomach. And the word Bethlehem means house of bread. The whole journey is there, every bit of it. And then the Christ is hidden so that King Herod, which represents the passion, cannot take that holy seed. He who overdoes his sex urges is apt not to get his God realization, because there are just so many of these master seeds, and if you constantly abuse this privilege which is given to you for procreation, instead of retaining this precious fluid within your body and raising it up so that one day you might have the Christ experience, one day that you might hold the Holy Eucharist in your own hand that comes from your own throat after it is returned to Galilee. You abuse this privilege, and you will never make it. You must learn to contain, to raise up this force within yourself, and to keep it holy. And you will find that if you are able to do this through God's grace and with his help, that your whole being will change. You will feel the power within yourself. You will be filled with light. You will start to get visions. You will be given great revelations, even as the saints of old and many today. The saints have not been done away with. There are great saints walking the earth in every age, but many times we don't hear. I've had the blessed privilege of meeting a great many saints in my sojourns in India. And believe me, they were tremendous men of God and women of God who had devoted their whole lives to God. And in the Indian ashram where I went through this mystical crucifixion, right up in the front was, in the main place of honor, was the picture of the Christ. And on all the walls around were pictures of the saints who had attained Christhood, who had picked up their crosses, which were their bodies, and had followed in his footsteps by whatever name they want to call Christ, by whatever name they want to call God the Father, because they speak a different language than we do. And there we have it. It was a man of God from India who taught me the true meaning of the teachings of the Christ. He taught me that Christ was indeed within myself. And I felt warm and lifted up and wrapped in the blanket of Christ's love for the first time in my life. He didn't preach all this hellfire, damnation, and eternal sin. You're a miserable sinner. You're born in sin. Certainly we're born in the sin of separation. Certainly we must not sin. Certainly we recognize that sin is rampant in the world. But it comes all under one heading, and that's the idea that we and our Father are not one. And if you get rid of that one sin, that idea of separation, all the rest of them disappear. So that's what we have to work toward. We don't accomplish it in a day. You just don't go up in front of an altar where there has been a tremendous power developed and say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, fall on the floor in some kind of a trance and come out of it not knowing what happened to you and say, I have been saved. Because Jesus himself said that God's realization was a pearl of great price. And every single soul has to pay that price. It is the Son of Man within us, the Savior, which must be crucified on our own cross in order that we might become the newborn Christ, the glorious one, the Son of God, the wonder child. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Because when you know, when you have experienced within yourself communion with that indwelling presence, you know the wonder and the beauty of life and of living and of creation, all of it, and of everything in this world, as you never dreamed it possible for you to know. Man cannot grasp with his puny intellect the things of the Spirit. He can read about these experiences. He can say he knows them. But he knows them intellectually, and until he has actually had the courage to love God, to love the Christ more than himself, and pick up his cross and follow that same road to Gethsemane, the hill of the skull is the hill of Golgotha. It is up here, right here, in this body temple, that all of this takes place, at the Mount of Olives, which is the eyes which are shaped like two olives. How can I say this with such authority? Because I paid the price for knowing down to the last shred. I know what every bit of it means. Because I was willing to die for Christ, and I did die for him. And I awoke, and gradually, the newborn Christ within myself ascended into the heaven of my own being. And I am one with him. I am filled with the peace, the power, and the glory. The body is many times weak, but never the spirit. The will is indomitable. This is my brother donkey. It does whatever I tell it to, regardless of its physical condition. And somehow, God keeps it alive. But somehow, through the prayers of all of those who love him, it is kept here. It is kept in service. And I pray with everything I got during this holy season that it may be his will. And through his grace, that I may complete this destiny which he has set before me. To bring the truth to all mankind. To stop listening to the fairy tales. And to make man know that the Christ lives within himself. That he has this to look forward to. The holy night. The stars in the heaven of his own being. And the birth of that Christ child. And then the three qualities, the three wise men who have gained this wisdom through their sojourn in this human body, who come to lift, to lay their own special gifts at the feet of the Christ. The gift of myrrh, which is the bitterness within man. The gift of fool's gold, which is his attachment to the things of the senses. And then finally, the gift of frankincense, which is his total worship at the feet of the Lord. All of this I want to spread before the earth. I want to take them out of book learning. I want to take them out of a thing of belief, faith through belief, and put them into absolute realization and knowledge through experience. I am trying with everything I have to help each one who comes before me to find the Christ within themselves, to become masters of themselves, so that one day people may bow before them and call them master. Jesus did not say he was the only one, as we discussed the other night. No one can become greater than his master, but he who makes the effort can become as great as the master. That simple verse in itself indicates that Christ knew that others had the same ability to attain what he had, to become heirs with him in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, to lift themselves up above all of this mundane world. And if you will read in the Bible, you will see that today everything is happening in the outer sense that is described here. Nation is fighting against nation. Mother against daughter, father against son, and so on and so on. Tremendous upheavals and earthquakes. But this also happens within man. The end draws nigh, you see, when the end of the world must come within yourself. This old world will go on yet for centuries upon centuries upon centuries, because they keep digging up more and more and more things that extend the age of the earth a million years beyond what they've ever known before. Science is wonderful. But all of this happens within yourself. The upheaval, as your consciousness is released from each one of the three bodily jars, the physical, the astral, or the electrical body, which controls and governs your nervous system, and finally, the idea of the causal body, that which controls the mind. And as you go through each one of these tremendous experiences, you feel the fire of the serpent, or the kundalini force, which is coiled at the base of the spine, and as it rises, you feel this fire. And indeed, Moses, representing the law, knows what the burning bush is all about, because this is the tree, the burning bush, and it is on fire with the love of God. It is on fire because it is being purified in order that the Christ within you may be born, may ascend, and take control. He will be the governor, the controller of your whole being, and therefore of all that he surveys. He is the softest, the gentlest, the sweetest child that ever was born. And in the love that he gives, he changes the world. But also, he does not hesitate to lash out at the many changers in this temple of the living God. That which concentrates only upon the getting of money, the getting of possessions. He is not afraid to face multitudes and say what he thinks, even if he were to die. What is death to him? Because he has already known the pangs of death, and he has known also and realized within himself that though he has died, though he were dead, still he lives. Because the real self, the Christ self, is that which is of God. And that one is everlasting and eternal. I would like each and every one of you during this coming week to make it a holy week of preparation for the birth of the Christ child within your own consciousness, within your own heart, within your own being, so that you may be lifted up and filled with the bliss of his presence. And that nevermore may you feel the pangs of separation. And that no matter where you look, you may see his light everywhere, the light of God permeating the hearts of men. And it is only this way, with each of us who know the truth and make the effort, that this world will change and that there will be peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. Now let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father. Divine Mother,
I feel the
wonder and
the beauty
of thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with thy love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet and surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence
are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.